listening to Fox Sports Radio.
We start with the NBA here on Straight Outta Vegas. The draft coming up tomorrow night, but a lot of moving and shaking, trades going down, picks, players, veterans, salary dumps, so on and so forth. Why all the movement so far in the NBA offseason?
I think there's two reasons, and Fez, we agree on one of them. One, and this is, I think, more obvious. So, and that's the one you came up with. So go ahead.
Yeah, the Golden State monopoly is over, RJ. Think about this. Golden State, 5 straight finals. They've been favored to beat the field. They've been a 2-1 favorite.
Let's talk about that a second. And Maddie, jump in if you disagree with any of this, but I remember the odds of pretty much every finals. I can't say, oh, the Spurs were this, but at least the outliers since 90, let's say. And Magic, well, no, let's think about Michael. Michael and the Bulls the last 3 years, especially the last two, were even money in that range against the field. And it was like, oh my. Because think about it, even though there were great teams before that, Magic, Bird, but they were always against each other. So yeah, the Lakers might have been one of the best teams of all time, that 80s Lakers, but the Celtics might have been one of the best teams of all time. So how can you be that big of a favorite, right? So to me, when it was even money versus the field for Jordan, it was history. It was like, oh my, this is crazy. Golden State, since they got Durant, every year at, let's just say a random point, let's say New Year's Day, was minus 150 or higher 3 straight years. So literally the 3 best teams in history relative to competition. And with LeBron, you can't act like the competition was all that weak. Meaning, I get it, some of those Cleveland teams, especially the last year with Cleveland, wasn't a great team. But if you got one of the best players of all time against you, it's not like, oh, the league was so watered down. So if you just look at the relative odds, Golden State during that period, the 3 best teams of all time. Maddie, that's the way you look at it, right?
I think you have to.
Right? Yeah. I mean, if you're having to lay 150 with Warriors or more, and you've never had to lay 150 with anyone before the playoffs started, you know, once you get deeper into the playoffs, it's the market saying this is the most dominant team for 3 straight years. So if you actually stack rank the most dominant teams in the modern era based on the Vegas perception of that team, all right, not how they played, but how Vegas thought they would play, 1, 2, and 3 would be Golden State the last 3 years. So now there was a sense of, well, look at Daryl Morey and all the crazy stuff he's trying to do just to have a chance to beat Golden State. And it almost demoralized these teams to not really do anything aggressive, because what's the best thing you're going to do is either get beat in the Western Final or get beat in the Finals. If you're from the East, now Golden State's gone. It opens up opportunity.
Yeah.
And Golden State's not gone, but that team, that minus 150 team, is gone.
Yeah, look at Portland last year. They were ecstatic to get the Western Conference Finals because they knew that it was so unlikely they could get past Golden State.
So, but it's not even so much how they're feeling in the moment of the series. It's how much are they going to risk the future? Because by definition, if you look at the Lakers, we talked about it yesterday, the trade they made, if Anthony Davis leads them to a title, it's going to be fine, I guess. But they really did mortgage the future in that case. I mean, it is year after year of swap, trade, defer. It's like the worst divorce settlement you could ever imagine. I mean, it's just like everything to the advantage. It's almost like the husband got caught with, you know, a monkey, a guy. I mean, like, and he was like a TV star. So it's like, all right, I'm going to give you any deal that you want. Just don't tell. I mean, what more could the Lakers have given?
I can't imagine.
I actually think the bylaws only allow you to give so many picks. So I guess at a certain point, it was all the swaps. Why would the Lakers have made that trade if Golden State were fully loaded coming into next year with Durant? With maybe, but boy, they might have, because they got their own agenda in the city of Los Angeles. I don't know if these other trades happen, because we've gone from having the most dominant team in history to as wide open as it's been since when? Because think about it. And maybe there's a year in between, but Golden State, right? Before that, Miami was pretty dominant. Well, not more than pretty. The big three. Mm-hmm. I mean, is this like almost a decade since
before
the league's
that,
been this
the Kobe and before that, the Kobe Shaq Lakers.
Yeah. Oh, well, yeah, sir. And then the Spurs were, I mean, you think about it, who is, do we even have an idea who the best team is?
No.
I mean, Milwaukee was favored before the Anthony Davis trade. My gut feeling is Milwaukee will be favored when this is all said and done entering the season. We talked about it where the Lakers, I mean, there's really no word for it other than price gouging. And I'll have you answer for the bookmakers, Matt. You know, listen, 200 stations. Coach, don't be nervous.
Okay.
If I wanted to bet you that the Lakers' odds come tip off of the NBA season are going to be paying more than they are right now, would you, you know, in theory, it should be 50-50, right? The odds now are what they are. Some good things might happen. Some bad things might happen. People's perception might change. Doesn't it seem like, guys, the non-bookies here, that the odds of the odds getting better should be about the same as the odds getting worse?
Yep.
Right? Well, I'd be willing to make you, you know, pretty much name your price.
Yeah, I
that the
that
odds
side.
Are worse. Now, why wouldn't you take it?
Because I think it bottomed out. And I think even if they signed the Kemba Walker, let's use Kemba Walker as the player that they're targeting, a lot of people are talking about, it, how much lower could it go? So at this point, only one way for the odds, they continue to sign another player.
I do want to bet you, though.
Come on, baby.
All right. You know I'm always in.
What are you thinking? How much?
Here's
the
point.
So
what are we calling it now? 7-2?
Now we can do a consensus. Here's the point, though. It's price gouging.
Correct.
It's they
100%.
Know right now, these dastardly bookies know right now that everyone who's getting, or not everyone, but a majority of people getting involved right after the trade.
Except. We're
gonna
bet
the, how, who's going to go fade? Like, if you're anxious to fade the Lakers, or if you're anxious to bet another Western team but the Lakers, why would you have done it in the 24 hours after the trade? So it's mostly Laker money. Hey, oh, there's a hurricane coming? Let's double the price of water. I mean, that's the level these people are dealing with.
Except for the very few books, and there's a couple regulated books
that have a yes, no?
That offered the yes, no.
So what book are? There's one in town. Who else? Yeah.
DraftKings.
Okay.
So you can go to DraftKings in New Jersey and bet the yes, no, and the no was minus 430. The yes was, minus 430, yes, plus 350. And I thought that was a really fair price if you want to fade them.
Now that is, let's really drill, not drill down, but let's repeat this because it's so key. If I gave odds right now that at the Super Bowl halftime show, the aliens are going to announce their presence and land in the middle of the field. And I'm going to give you 7-1. Okay? What do I have to lose? Like, if I don't have the other side, if it's not a two-sided bet, yes or no. Imagine if the Patriots, you say, I'm going to make the Patriots favored by 42. Oh, geez. Well, what about the other side? Oh, you can't bet them. Okay? Now, that sounds crazy, but that's what most of these bets and futures are. And because the VIG, the commission, is not obvious. You have to have a spreadsheet. You know, it's not that complicated. But the average VIG in future pools, and let's get a quick reference to what the average VIG is for minus 110. It's not average. It's just theoretically the case. Less than 5%. If a drunk baby is flipping coins and you bet those picks, minus 110, you're going to lose over the long run less than 5% of your bet. You might win 5 in a row, might lose 5 over the long run. The Theo, as they say, the theoretical. Fez, what would you say is the... I don't want to ask Matty. He'll say like... I'm going to write down what he would say. But now I'm saying that. I can't even do it because he'll go high.
I mean, I'll tell you what it is. I'll tell you what it is in regulated sports.
Go ahead.
It's 28.5%.
Ooh,
oh, I'll take the over.
I'll take the over for all you want. Really?
Well, you're including all the new regulated sports books, FanDuel, DraftKings, and
you know,
boy, we can't just use the three really bad ones in town.
Yeah, who's the three bad ones?
I can't say. I almost did,
but here's the point, and it's a good one. Matty's bringing up. I mean, he didn't even shave for this. So, I mean, he better come with some good info. Vegas was so complacent for so long, and the only exception I've been here 21 years. The only exception was when Cantor came along and they got really aggressive. The other books were like, hey, they're hiring away our favorite tellers. It's like, well, you're paying them like $9 an hour. If you want them so bad, pay them something, right? I mean, to me, I'm kind of a free market guy. Pay the guy or the gal and keep them. But don't complain someone's finally paying them a fair wage, right? Okay. But these boys, and it's the big pot belly. They're making $400K a year to do like hardly anything types that are complaining. They might have to pay their teller $12 an hour or something. So to me, I was always on cancer side with that. But then there was three other small chains that had, you know, Lucky, it doesn't matter, Calneva, but they had what, between 10 and 15, 20 different locations each. So there was literally, you know, and they were all trying to get attention. So they were aggressive. So what happened was one big operator came in, bought up the three, and now it's one big operator. And Cantor had legal issues, which ended up making it so they got much less aggressive. So, like, except for those 2 years, there's been no competition in Vegas. They're all, it's like a, it's a monopoly, but they're all like splitting the pie. It's like, hey, I won't do anything crazy. You don't do anything crazy. We'll keep cashing our checks. And that's where my mentality is. But you're right. If you look at Jersey, for example, there's been more innovation. If anything, Jersey proves my point. There's been more innovation in Jersey with things like cash out your bets and all the different things in the last year than there had been in Vegas in the prior 15 years, I would say.
Agreed.
So to some degree, Maddie's here defending the books. And in the ones that deserve it, I'm happy he is, because there are some books doing some good things. And if that can become the norm, it's going to be so much better for bettors.
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Outta Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Speaking of trades, the big move that took place earlier today in the NBA involved Mike Conley of the Memphis Grizzlies, who is now a member of the Utah Jazz, sent over to Utah in exchange for Grayson Allen, Jay Crowder, Kyle Korver, the 23rd pick in tomorrow night's draft, and a future first round pick.
Okay, now if you listen to that closely, but you can't write it down, you can't have two sheets of paper, and don't do that if you're driving, it might sound like the Laker trade. Look, couple players, draft choices, maybe some would say inaccurately, oh, they went all in. Utah went all in. But let's look at this and let's define what they really did give away. I would make the case, and anyone who wants to object, open mic, that Grayson Allen has shown himself to be terrible. And hey, anything could change. I wouldn't bet on it. Korver, old.
38.
Old. Mm. Well, you wish you were 38 that fast.
God, I do.
Jay Crowder, let's say slightly above average.
Two-way player, so slightly
above average. Yeah, I agree.
Good sixth man.
Okay. Is he a good sixth man?
He's a journeyman.
That's it, Daryl. Journeyman. I think that Utah got away here and won the trade, clearly. And the second part of that is the picks. Yeah, obviously the pick this year, the 23, but if you actually look at the odds of hitting a real difference maker with 23, it's so much less. In the NFL, 23 and 9, yeah, obviously you'd rather pick 9, but it's not that different. I mean, the second round picks, some say, are the most valuable because of the contracts in the NFL. There's exceptions, but in the NBA, a 23rd pick, I mean, just look at some of the better teams like Golden State that pick high every, or in this case, in the 20s and beyond every year. When's the last time a real winner, like Miami had multiple years picking there, you know, way back when, who was their best pick? Who, even the Spurs. You know, who was there?
Tony Parker.
Yeah, that was the one.
That's the exception.
I mean, so I'm not saying there's not 10 or 12 exceptions or more throughout the league. It's just they didn't give up much there. And the second first rounder has all these protections. It could not maybe be till 2024 that they get it. What I heard, the most likely odds is 2022. So it feels like the upgrade with Conley, and let's quantify that. Matty Holt, why don't you start with Conley? What's your take on how much of an upgrade over Rubio?
I think he's a fairly significant upgrade over Rubio, but you're also going to pay him a lot more than Rubio. So Rubio's a free agent. Instead of re-signing Rubio, you significantly upgrade the position, but you also do some damage to your salary cap with Conley.
Fez.
Yeah, I agree with that. You know, the one thing I really like about Conley is the defense that he plays. You got a 20-point-per-game player that also plays very good defense. Might be the difference to Utah won 50 games last year. They could win the most of anybody in the West with the West wide open this year.
Straight out of Vegas!
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Out of Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific.
The Houston Rockets, reports suggesting that Chris Paul and James Harden aren't getting along, that Chris Paul wants out. He has denied that. Daryl Morey, who runs the Rockets, is denying that. So, RJ, what does Vegas make of the drama going on in Houston?
Well, I tell you, when a Fortita is involved, I'm not sure anyone else runs that organization, right? So that's the family that owns, had ownership of the UFC, right? And also the stations, which is, you know, Sunset Station, a bunch of them in town. It strikes me that you know, think about Daryl Morey, right? He came in as one of the brainiacs, and this guy really legitimately a brainiac, in that he wasn't using analytics. He was, you know, he was revolutionary with his use of them and innovative. So I would say his reputation today is about, Daryl Morey is about as high as it's ever been, though we can look at the Rockets and say, you know, what we've learned about the NBA playoffs and this Houston team don't seem to fit, meaning, and we're going to do this on our podcast actually tonight, released tomorrow, and we'll do it either Friday or next week, talking about what we really learned from the NBA playoffs that we can put in our pocket for next year. But real quick, it's going to be one, fatigue's just getting to be more and more of an issue. So load management, well, Houston doesn't seem to do any of that with Harden especially. And number two, it seems like that as there's a 7-game series, as the coaching gets better, as the analytics get better, they know how this guy does in this spot going left when he ate a ham sandwich that day. And if you have tendencies that are as extreme as Harden's tendencies, as the Rockets in general, you suffer over a 7-game series. So because they can keep making adjustments and see what you do. And finally, you run out of moves because you're not super flexible. Haven't we seen that from the Rockets?
Yeah, the Harden pick and roll that seems unstoppable in February gets stopped in the playoffs.
So you got to wonder how much of this is about the, you know, to some degree, Daryl Morey saying, wait a minute, I'm one of the most respected GMs in the league, and now I've got an owner who's more aggressive with his say than the prior owner. And how many places would hire him if he was on the market where he might have total control? So everything coming out of Houston, I think you got to take with a grain of salt. Fez, when you look at it, what's your takeaway? How good is Chris Paul? Obviously, his contract, I mean, Jordan in his prime, I'm not sure is worth this call. Maybe that would have been the guy. This contract's crazy.
Yeah, I took a look at Chris Paul's advanced analytics the last 2 years. This past year, he was very good, RJ, in real plus minus, one of the stats I like to use. He was
What other stats do you like?
Field goal percentage.
That's advanced analytics?
That's another stat.
Go ahead.
Bottom line is, this year he was the fourth best point guard in the league by that stat. But last year, he was the number one point guard using the same advanced stat.
Okay, so if a guy's getting overpaid, he's getting overpaid. It means he's getting paid too much. But if he's the fourth best at his position, seems like people are wringing their hands like this guy's worthless. What is it that has us feeling like Chris Paul is borderline worthless when next year he's making 38.5 at million, 41 the year after that, and when he's in 2022, 44 mil. That's not going to be a fun track to write every 2 weeks.
And he keeps getting older, so we expect his performance to decline while we pay him more.
So, I mean, but that's my question, and maybe we can explore this because we do got two picks coming up. Let's just ask the question and ponder it and pick it back up in the days to come. I think if Chris Paul hadn't missed those Golden State games, the whole league would look at him differently. It's just in our minds, oh, if he wasn't just hurt this much. He's the, you know, how many games did he miss this year? It wasn't a crazy number, right? He didn't miss any playoffs.
He just missed a month back in February.
Okay. And that's a lot. I mean, in a way, that's a lot. But he had a good year otherwise. He didn't miss any playoff games, right? So, to me, it feels like, and let's be candid, Chris Paul was surly. And so when a guy's surly, it's kind of like, let's be honest, us guys out there, when there's that girl in high school and she's all snooty, and later you look on Facebook and you see she's befallen some tough times, not that you wish horrible times, but, you know, she's got a double chin or something, you kind of laugh probably when you aren't the type to do that. But why would you? Now, Fez, I'm not talking about you specifically here.
No schadenfreude here.
No. So, but the fact of the matter is that when someone is on top of the world and they run roughshod, well, when they're not on top of the world, though, I guess if you're making 44 sticks, you're doing all right.
Yeah.
People like to take shots.
Right out of Vegas!
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.